One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hey, hey, it's Shay Keister, and I'm your host for Casual Cattle Conversations, where we talk about all things related to ranching through sharing the stories and practices of different ranchers and their operations. Alrighty, folks, it's great to have you back. And before we get to who will be on today's episode and you having the opportunity to meet them, we are going to thank today's sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Performance Beef, easy-to-use cattle management software. Stop relying on pen and paper or complicated programs. Performance Beef is a comprehensive technology solution integrating feed, financial, and health information in one easy-to-use platform, accessible from anywhere on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Performance Beef makes it easy to update rations, record health data at the chute, in pen, or out at the pasture, generate real-time closeout reports, or analyze trends in feed intake, costs, and performance all in one place. It has helped more than 2,200 cattle producers like Natalie and Luke Kavorik simplify their cattle business. Search Performance Beef online to request a demo or follow Performance Beef on social media. Thank you, Performance Beef, for sponsoring today's episode. It was great to have Justin on the show a few episodes back. And today we are very excited to visit with Natalie Kavorik. She is an influencer on Instagram, for those of you who don't know her. But Natalie really advocates for the beef industry and the ranching lifestyle. She shares her honest experiences as a mother on the ranch and in the social media and influencing space, and offers a lot of advice on how to manage that time, manage social media. And it's really a great episode for anyone interested in upping their social media game or marketing and just really learning on a little more on advocating for the ranching industry. With that, be sure to comment, like, share, let me know what you're interested in. And when I say comment, do not be afraid to comment a question you have about the episode or something you learned. It really builds community and allows me to help you more and you to help other listeners as well. So with that, let's get on with the episode. So just to get started, what is your background with ranching?
I grew up on a ranch. So I'm a fourth generation rancher's daughter. So I'm in Nebraska now, but I originally grew up in Southwest Montana. My family has a registered Hereford operation there. So it was a family operation. I still have two sisters that work on the ranch with my parents. But I grew up definitely immersed in it. I wasn't like a 4-H or FFA kid, but I guess I got the real experience of being on the ranch. So
well, that's awesome to come from that type of background. So what is your operation like today that you are on? You just said you were in Nebraska.
Yeah. So we were on my husband's operation in central Nebraska. And he also kind of grew up in the ranching industry. It's definitely, we're in rural Nebraska, definitely. So it's a very farming, ranching community. But so through his mom's side, they had a family ranch, and his dad, we're actually on the little quarter that his dad's parents, he was raised on. So it's kind of confusing because through my husband's mom, he is like technically a fifth generation rancher. But we are not on that operation. We're actually on, like I said, the little homestead that his dad grew up on. And that was more just like his parents, his dad's parents did it basically to survive. Like that was their lifestyle. It wasn't like a production egg or anything. So our operation that my husband and I own is kind of technically a first generation. He came back from after graduate school and kind of started the cow herd up on his own a little bit with his dad. But both of his parents worked outside of agriculture. And so Luke kind of headed it all. So we have ranching roots, the both of us, but what we're running today is a lot of hard work from, you know, and time that my husband put in. And we are, I would say, the heart of our operation. I think most people listening are agriculture. So it's a cow-calf operation, but we just started a small registered Angus herd as well. And then we also do backgrounding, and my husband does AI work as well too.
Well, awesome. That is a lot to keep you busy, and good to see that you both have such strong roots in agriculture. So with that, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think anyone who lives, whether you're a farmer or rancher, I think you're busy. No matter how much you do, I think, you know, or how little compared to your neighbors, I still think it's just a busy lifestyle.
There's always something. So what is your role on your operation today?
So I wear I know it's kind of controversial in today's society however you want to look at it, but I consider myself a ranch wife. I do work off of the ranch. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why I consider myself a ranch wife instead of a rancher herself, is because before I married my husband, I was working outside of agriculture, full time. And so I've just never, I grew up on a ranch and I live on a ranch now, but I've always seen my occupation as farm. That's what I'm a pharmacist. So I've always seen it as pharmacy. I work a lot with my husband. I only work part-time now. So I'm on the ranch 5 days a week and I'm usually out with him doing stuff, but it's just kind of an adjustment for me mentally to think of myself as a rancher and not a ranch wife. Because like I said, just before I married him, my work's always been outside of agriculture, but I guess 2 days a week I'm off the ranch and 5 days a week I am with him. And again, even though I'm with him, I'm still not like the sole worker. He is. And so a lot of my role is more, like supportive. But we'll do a lot of the stuff together. And then, he's definitely, I consider the lead on the ranch.
Well, I guess that's a very common thing to have that off ranch income in most operations. But so the main reason I wanted to talk to you was your Instagram page. So would you talk a little bit about what made you want to start that and what you're doing there?
Yeah, it was kind of a serendipitous journey. It wasn't actually something I planned or intended to do. So like most people, I was on social media, Instagram specifically, personally, for a long time before I ever ventured into it as, business or something more besides just sharing for friends and family. A couple years ago in 2017, after I had first moved to Nebraska, my friend and I, a good friend back from Montana, had decided we wanted to start a ranch direct beef business. She was also married to a rancher and was also ranching, or that's what they do for their occupation. And so it was just something we wanted to try. And in order to do that, we decided we wanted to use the social media platform of Instagram to kind of, build our audience, get to know our customers. And that's how we were going to roll out our product. So my initial, exposure to Instagram as a business was for something, a business I'm not currently doing. I stepped away from that at the beginning of this year, and started my own page. And so that's why I kind of say it wasn't something I intended to do, because originally I had always just wanted to sell beef. And I actually remember when we set up the account and started our business, I remember being like, I don't really want to do influencing and brand work. I'm not interested in that. Let's just sell beef, and keep it honed in on, that product-based business. But it's fun, it's fun to share your story and get more personal. And it's fun to advocate for agriculture and just a bunch of things that I learned about myself along the way, led me to decide to start sharing on my own page under my own name and more about our family. So, I do that, like you said, on my Instagram page. And I started kind of sharing personally on my own April of this year, it's 2021 now. So April of 2020. And then we also ventured to YouTube and I decided to start sharing there as well.
Well, you've had a lot of growth between then and now. I know I'm a follower and you have tons of engagement and tons of followers on there. So that's exciting. So with the branding, how did you kind of overcome that whole, I don't want to do it right away. I don't want to be an influencer and move into what you have right now?
Yeah, again, it was just something that happened. So the company Stetson actually reached out to us when we were, when I was still on Ranch Wives, and said they kind of wanted to do a little feature on us, motherhood on the ranch for their Mother's Day. And that was kind of my first exposure to, brand work or influencing or, whatever you want to call it. And it was just so fun. It was fun writing up the blog and sharing our story, our view of ranching on the motherhood. And it was fun that it was on that platform that I knew it was going to reach people and connect with people. And it was fun working with a photographer. I've always really been in kind of to like fashion and styling. And even when I had my own personal Instagram, I still, it was still kind of a curated feed of my personal images. I still really enjoyed, I don't consider myself a photographer at all, especially now that I work with actual legit photographers. But I always I feel like I still had nicer photos, and I took the time to, edit them well and stuff. So I always enjoyed that. And then I got my first exposure of it more in a professional business way with Stetson. And it was I just got that one little taste, and it was just so fun. I wanted to just, keep doing it. And that's the beautiful thing about Instagram, as you grow, more opportunities present themselves. So just little things kept popping up after that initial campaign we did with Stetson, and the ball it was like a snowball going down a hill, it just kept building and carried on its own.
Well, that's exciting. So with that, you have to be on social media a lot throughout the day, it seems like. So how do you balance, you have that off the ranch job with being a pharmacist? I know you said you don't consider yourself a rancher, just the ranch wife, but that still keeps you very busy. And plus you have this Instagram. So how do you try and balance that when you're outside?
I think it is something that everyone just naturally finds on their own as they're doing it. I have definitely figured out the balance the longer I've been on the app and the longer I've shared. In the beginning, it was hard. To grow on Instagram, you have to be present. And so, a lot of time went into the beginning phase. And then as you grow, you can start stepping back and sharing a little bit less. And I also think things that weigh into it in the beginning is you're sharing a lot to try and figure out, what your audience wants from you and what they're connecting to. And then along the way, you figure out, what they enjoy seeing. And so that helps balance, because I have cut out sharing a lot of things that I don't think my audience is really interested in anymore, that in the beginning, I might have shared to see if they were. And so I think it's just a natural thing you figure out as, the longer you're on the app. And I think it's a different balance for everyone. Like, it's definitely not a one size fits all. What I consider a balance, someone might consider, chaotic and way too much. And what I consider a balance, someone might be doing way more than me, and that's their balance of level. And so it's just a really personal thing that I think you figure out, taking into account your surroundings. So I had to figure out a balance with what my husband was comfortable with. I had to figure out a balance with, what allowed me still to be a mother and what allowed me to, actually help when I'm out working with my husband. So I have figured out a little, some tips and tricks. I do a lot of recording when we're out working together, and then I won't post, till maybe an hour later when we're in the house, so I'll catch all those snippets live when we're out, and then I'll throw them up when we're back in, because it, I do overlay with text and try and, I don't really curate my stories, but I definitely do more than just snap it and throw it up. And so to still be able to be a actual help to him when we're out working, I can catch those, 10, 15 mm-hmm. second clips. And then instead of taking the time to then also load them, or type over them or whatever it is, I don't do that immediately. I usually tend to do it if, we hop in the truck and we have some downtime, I'll throw it up then, or if we go back into the house or whatever it is. So just little things like that, that I've figured out along the way that helped me figure out, make it more tolerable to share so much, but not eat into my actual life.
Yeah. Well, that is great advice. And so just to clarify, as an influencer, do you have companies that sponsor you to keep going, or are you doing it independently right now?
Both. So I have worked, last year, 2020 was as far as business or monetary wise goes, it was, my big year. It was the first year I worked with multiple people, that I did multiple campaigns that were paid and got the price that I was actually asking for. And also didn't just work for a lot of times people, when you start out, you'll work for free product. And I did a lot of that in 2019, and 2020 was the year that it was more, I felt like an actual business. And so, but there's still a lot that I'm not running, paid sponsorships or campaigns all the time. A lot of it is still just me sharing without that. But you have to find a balance. Again, it goes back to that magical word, because if you're going to spend so much time on the app, you have to, to make it worth the time. And, for us, that's, a monetary business. And so you have to take some of those sponsorships. Otherwise, just the incentive to devote that much of your life to it isn't there. But then again, you don't want it to feel like a business, and I want my Instagram to still feel very much like a community for people. And there's still a lot I want to do that isn't, money-based, advocating and sharing about ranching and our lifestyle and all of that. That comes from, just more my love for the industry than, seeing it as a business.
Well, absolutely. So something that I've been following a little bit on there is your version of Suzy School, correct? You're putting...
That's new.
Yeah. So this episode, it'll come out in May. So when, again, are the dates for that?
End of March. March, it's a 3-day... Well, you get in the night before, but the actual school is like 3 full days of... learning. So it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the end of March.
So what kind of prompted you to start this? And can you explain a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, of course. So Suzy she is no longer, she's kind of a retired influencer, but she was an influencer that like I would consider like one of the originals, like an OG that's been doing it, for 10 years. Like she's been sharing online and providing money for her family that way for a really long time. And so she was a very successful influencer. And I think as with anything, the originals, people who kind of paved the way, get asked all the questions, how do you do this? How does it work? I want to do this. Like what, help me, And so I think that kind of, I guess like generation or, all the people kind of in her space when they started had the opportunity to kind of create a lot of them created online resources. A lot of them started doing the retreats kind of like Suzy, but the people who are doing it to start with are the ones that are going to teach the next people. And so she, last year decided, I think she must've just been getting that question enough, like Suzy, I want to do what you do. How do I do it? So she decided to start what she calls Suzy School. And it is basically open to anyone. Not just influencers, but anyone who wants to monetize social media. So she has a lot of small businesses that are trying to monetize through Instagram. And that's the platform she works through most is Instagram. But so she holds, they're basically like high intensive retreats. So it's a small number for a short period of time, 3 days. And you go and you learn basically how to monetize, Instagram or social media in the way that you want to. So I actually attended in 2019. That was kind of an investment I put into wanting to, build my business online. So I attended and I left and never really thought, much of it. Like definitely didn't think I would be where I'm at now hosting one. But I learned a lot from her and I credit a lot of, as you mentioned earlier, I had some fast growth and seen a lot of quick success in this last year. And I credit a lot of that to Suzy and attending Suzy School. And so I actually reached out to her and I guess part of it is, you have classmates that you go with, the other women at the retreat, you form like this friendship, this bond with them and you're always conversing with them after you leave and bouncing ideas off of each other. And I thought, and a lot of them were from varying backgrounds. And so I thought, how neat would it be to have, this network that I have with the Suzy sisters, but have them be all women in agriculture. So they really understood, when I came to ask questions and came to them to get advice. Or, it's almost like a little mastermind group when you leave. And so I thought, how neat would it be to have it actually be all women in agriculture? And so I actually reached out to Suzy and I said, Suzy, you need to do this. You need to do a niche down retreat, and I would love to be kind of your guinea pig. Let's try it with women in agriculture. So my original idea was not for me to teach. It was for Suzy to teach and I was going to be her assistant. And I just wanted her to do it with women in ag. And then through all of our conversations and kind of setting it up, Suzy said, I really think you should do this on your own. I really think, that the women will be there for you. They're not there for me. They're from your community. They know you, they relate to you. This is more about you than it is me. And that was really scary for me to think about, hosting on my own. Because like I said, I went into it with the mentality that I was just going to assist Suzy, but, I thought about it and I thought she's right. I can do this. I've learned a lot. I've, built up my page and anything that, I don't know everything Suzy does, but, I know enough and a lot to teach the women who want to learn from me. And so I took the leap and I hosted my own, I will be hosting my own Suzy School, Natalie, niche down retreat that's focused on women in, and it's not necessarily women in ag. I didn't want it to just be ranch wives and farm wives who applied or people, I didn't want people to feel like they had to be like me to apply. And so I wanted to focus on, small businesses and small towns and just kind of that people who believe in the Western industry and the lifestyle that we come from, which is rural America. And so, yeah, I had, last I looked when I, went to close it, there was 115 applicants and it's varying. I've gone through not all of them, but it's a variety of you know, Western influencers and small businesses and farm wife. And it's just a really, it's a variety of women, and which is exactly what I wanted, who believe in rural America and are coming from small towns and just have this passion for the lifestyle. And so I haven't even started into it, but it's already been super, super rewarding just to see the dreams and hopes that women from the community that I am so proud to belong to have. And I really can't wait to help, hopefully, you know, those women bring all of their dreams, you know, to fruition.
Well, that is super exciting. And I can only imagine, I'm excited for you to think about the community that can come from that and the spirit and energy with those type of applicants.
Yeah, I got asked quite a bit if I was going to do like an online version of it. And like you said, the energy and, you know, kind of the magic of being in the room with those women and going through it together is, it's really neat. And it's something that you kind of understand before, but you really understand once you've done it. And so, yeah, I'm excited because an in retreat thing, it's really great when you get a lot of passionate women together. Like, we get things done. It's fun.
So kind of switching gears a little bit. Social media can be very draining. I mean, I know with my business, I've talked to other small business owners. Some people feel like they just get so drained from pushing out so much of their lives and what they're trying to do on social media. What's your take on this and how do you handle that?
Yeah. So again, I think it's something I think social media is all about pivoting. So if you start out, you know, handling your page, and creating the same content that you originally went into your page with the whole exact time you're on it, I don't think you're going to be successful. I think it's all about pivoting, whether that means listening to your audience, whether that means listening to yourself, to your heart, to the family around you who are saying like, this is too much, let's scale back. I mean, it's all about making little pivot. So for me, you know, when I started my own page, I had goal numbers that I wanted to reach of followers in certain amounts of time. And so I knew I really had to crank it out this first year about spending time on the app and creating a community. And I knew that going into it, and my husband knew that going into it too. And he was thankfully very, very supportive. It was kind of draining at the beginning, but like I said, I had those goals that I wanted to reach. And then I just recently, I'm taking one day off a weekend. So I'm taking Saturdays off of no social media. And that was kind of my reward to myself once I hit a certain point where I felt like I had built the community I wanted to build, and kind of got to a place where I could work with some brands. Because if you're going to work, you know, try and make money from social media, you know, follower count is important. Brands ask for it all the time. They also ask for engagement all the time. I mean, that is how we get paid, is proving that we have followers, and engagement statistics that are going to convert for that brand. And so, you know, I didn't start my own page to not reach some of those goals. And so I knew I had to kind of hit it really hard. And so, but I've just recently kind of started taking time away to kind of prevent that fatigue and, you know, that drain that makes you want to step away from the app or give up or, you know, not put as much effort into it. And so, I don't know. I just think it's about, like I said, pivoting all along the way and making adjustments so that, you know, you feel like you're not losing yourself in the app along the way.
Well, thank you for that. So what's been the most difficult part about building your brand on social media?
I feel like I don't want to say it was easy for me, but I feel like I'd been doing it before I jumped to my original page. Like I said, I had been on, you know, Ranch Wives sharing there. And so I feel like maybe all of the hard things and the frustrating things and the things, you know, that you learn at the beginning, I experienced all over there. And so by the time I got to my original page, I feel like I'd kind of found my groove with social media. I'd kind of known, like I said, I'd already gone to Susie's school. So I had known a lot of the behind the scenes tips and tricks and, you know, the analytics you're looking at and kind of all the business side of it. And I had known what I'd wanted to share. I'd want to focus more on advocacy and I wanted to focus more on our family. And so that was kind of figured out for me. So fortunately, I feel like this year it didn't have too many hurdles for me. I think the hardest part has been finding out how I want to advocate for agriculture. I think it's a very, at least for me and my personality, every time I do an advocacy post, I just get so nervous. I hit that button and I just like, I exit out of the app. You're not supposed to exit out of the app. You're not supposed to do that, but I do. And it's not from just like my fear of the post going large enough where, you know, activists or, you know, people outside of agriculture who want to try and end animal industry are going to find it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a, you know, a full on war in my comments or get you know, I mean, terrible things can happen to posts that go viral when they're advocacy posts like that. But I also really worry about people within the industry. You know, I worry about how I'm wording things, about how I'm sharing things. Am I, you know, because it's just from my perspective and it's just my voice and, you know, my view of how I see agriculture and our experience on our operation. And no two families who are in agriculture are the same. No two operations in agriculture are the same. And so I worry a lot about my voice speaking for other people. And that's not my intention. But doing that, having it speak for multiple people in this industry and saying something that someone else doesn't agree with, or, you know, like I said, it's just my personal view. And so I worry a lot about that coming across wrong. And so I think maybe the hardest part for me this year has been finding that balance of how I want to advocate and I guess my comfort zone with, you know, advocating for agriculture.
Well, that is a lot. And so with that, what's the most rewarding part of it?
Things like this, you know, community, people who say they enjoy, who want to learn more, who want to hear more about my story, you know, that tells me I'm doing a good job. It tells me all the effort I'm putting into it is worth it, you know, and I love, one of my favorite things is when I get questions from people outside of agriculture on my page, because it shows that I'm reaching, you know, kind of the people that we want to. I mean, I love community. Creating a community with people that are in the industry who understand what I'm going through. You know, it's like a sisterhood or a brotherhood. But it's also, you know, we can't just keep talking to each other. So if you're looking from the stand of advocacy, it's always really rewarding to me when I realize I've reached someone, you know, outside of it. But, you know, the great, I mean, those are just a few things. There's the great of this app. I truly believe the great of this app outweighs the negative of it, you know, far.
Well, that's a great perspective to have. And that kind of wraps up everything I wanted to talk to you about, unless you have any advice that you'd like to share for those who are kind of dreaming and learning how to share their own voice.
Well, I feel like it's what everyone says, but just start, you know, that's what I did. And that's what everyone's done. They just started somewhere. It's easy to compare someone who's been in the game for, you know, I do it all the time with people who've been on the app for, you know, for 5 years or 10 years, I think, that I'm behind. And so it's easy to do, but we all started at, you know, 0 or 100 or wherever it is. We all just started somewhere. And so if it's something that's really calling on your heart, I would never, ever recommend, you know, forcing your way onto the app, because it is very much so a time investment if you want to do it successfully. But if it's something that's like weighing on your heart and you've been thinking about it, I'm a firm believer that our hearts never lead us wrong. So if it's been weighing on you and you want to do it, just start. I swear to you, you'll figure it out along the way.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day and sharing your story and all this advice. It's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun. Anytime.
Alrighty, folks, that's a wrap on that one. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Natalie. I know I did. It was a great conversation. Great to meet her. Please be sure, if you're interested in more content outside of the podcast, to tune in for my lives. They're on the off Mondays of when I post episodes. I post episodes on the 1st and 15th of the month for now, and then I have live events on Facebook and Instagram. I also post regularly just to generate conversation about topics as well that are not live events. So go check out my social media, comment, let me know what you like. If you're interested in being a greater part of this podcast and supporting me a little more, be sure to go check out those patron or advertising options, or even if you want some merchandise, that it would be on my website, casualcattleconversations.podbean.com. That will be on the left-hand side. There should be some links there. Or on my Instagram page and Facebook page, there should be a link tree, which will take you to all the links you need. But with that, thank you and have a great day. This episode is brought to you by Performance Beef, easy-to-use cattle management software. Stop relying on pen and paper or complicated programs. Performance Beef is a comprehensive technology solution integrating feed, financial, and health information in one easy-to-use platform, accessible from anywhere on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Performance Beef makes it easy to update rations, record health data at the chute, in pen, or out at the pasture, generate real-time closeout reports, or analyze trends in feed intake, costs, and performance all in one place. It has helped more than 2,200 cattle producers like Natalie and Luke Kavorik simplify their cattle business. Search Performance Beef online to request a demo or follow Performance Beef on social media.